Welcome to the AMA Resource People podcast, the COVID-19 edition for Monday, the 6th of April, 2020, providing you Q&A style information for AMA members on workforce and employment matters. A reminder that the info on this podcast is general in nature and isn't legal advice. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Tara and I'm joined by my AMA teammates, Tom Reed, Head of Policy and Public Affairs, and Bert O'Brien, Head of Workplace Relations. So straight into the questions today. It's been put out in the media quite a bit in terms of this Queensland electrical company that has successfully varied their enterprise agreement to remove an imminent pay rise. Tom, can you provide us the details of this?
So in a nutshell, the Fair Work Commission approved the variation of an enterprise agreement made in 2017, which would have provided a 3% wage increase due this year. So the variation removed that wage increase. Now, the company employees, 80% of them voted to approve that variation. The CEPU, the union involved in this matter, opposed the variation. Thankfully, their arguments did not succeed before the full bench. So the CEPU argued that the JobKeeper announcement changed the background or the context in which the employees were voting up the original variation. And as such, the employer had an alternative available to them that were not available when the variation was voted up. But the full bench of the Fair Work Commission did not accept that argument. Look, this is a good outcome for AMA members in that we are already seeing some variations to enterprise agreements be voted up by the Fair Work Commission, even where there might be some opposition from a union party involved.
Thanks, Tom. And Ben, while this is an electrical company, what relevance does this have to, you know, AMA members in resource and energy industry?
Well, I think what's really interesting about this decision is that the employer was able to obtain a variation to an enterprise agreement with union opposition to that variation, and they were able to get it done in only 16 days. Now, that is that would be unheard of in other times, where usually an employer is scheduling maybe 2 or 3 months to go through a full variation process, because varying an agreement does involve putting the proposed variation out for a vote. It's like redoing your enterprise agreement in that regard. But for this employer to have got this done in 16 days, I think speaks to the circumstances that we're in, and also that the Fair Work Commission is treating these applications very seriously and putting them into an expedited approval process. And that is the type of time frame that we are working with in relation to the similar variation work that we're doing with AMA members at the moment.
Wow, well, that is great news. Thanks, Ben. And just following on from that, another question for you, Ben. The WA government, after we talked about it a lot last week, came down yesterday with their official direction in relation to their border closures. So what do employers with FIFO operations in WA need to know about the official direction, Ben?
So the directions were comprehensively set out across the course of yesterday by the WA government, and these are the details of what's being termed the hard border close here in WA. And I think the important things for AMA members to keep in mind in relation to the hard border close is that employees working interstate are able to return to Western Australia. Now, that was a significant concern that members had last week, where they were worried that their Western Australian employees working interstate may not be able to return to Western Australia after midnight on Sunday. And it's confirmed that those persons are going to be able to return to WA. However, there will be a 14-day self-isolation requirement that attaches to their return to WA. We have seen the WA government retain an exemption for FIFO workers coming into Western Australia. However, the change there is that whereas before a FIFO worker could enter Western Australia and proceed directly to work, now there is a requirement for FIFO workers to self-isolate for 14 days before they proceed to a work site. And it's important to note in relation to that the self-isolation is to be at the employer's expense. Another important component of that is that the WA government has flagged a kind of electronic approval system and licensing system, which is in the works. That's not available yet, but we certainly will see that worked through very quickly, I think. And just this morning, the WA government has updated the exemption form and a process for employers seeking exemptions for employees who are travelling into WA. Our recommendation is that people fill out that exemption form and apply for the exemption in all cases, as well as providing their employees with a letter of some description that attests to their essential traveller status.
Great advice. And as we said, much talked about, but now the official directions are finally here. So great to have that in concrete for people to be able to respond to. Tom, last week AMA wrote to the Attorney General and Minister for IR, Christian Porter, in fact, last Thursday, asking him to consider suspending awards and enterprise agreements for a period of 3 to 6 months. This has been welcomed by some areas of the media, and it's been controversial with some social partners. But can you give us the background around why AMA has requested the Attorney General consider this policy position?
So as we discussed on the podcast on Friday, the Attorney General and the ACTU and other unions and the Fair Work Commission had been going through this process of seeking to vary industrial awards en masse. Now, there's a big issue there for our industry, because the 17 awards that they essentially left untouched are those that apply directly to the resources and energy industries. So without going too much over the content of last week, the justification the Fair Work Commission provided in doing so was that firstly, our industry hadn't suffered enough economic damage to justify those new flexibilities in the awards, which is an argument that we simply don't accept. And secondly, that a great number of employers and employees in our sector are covered by enterprise agreements, and therefore any award flexibilities would not apply to them. We do agree on that second point. I mean, this is something that our members were expressing some frustration to us over the past couple of weeks, is that all this talk about award variations really don't mean anything to those employers that have got enterprise agreements in place and which are still being hampered down by a lot of unduly rigid processes in their enterprise agreements that are blocking them or hampering their ability to implement the sort of workplace change that they need to keep their doors open. AMA did circulate to our members on Friday the letter, as well as the justification in making the call to suspend industrial awards and enterprise agreements for the next 6 months as the country is moving through this COVID-19 crisis. Importantly, we wanted to make it very clear to our members that we aren't pursuing an ideological argument here. We have put in our policy positions over really the past decade our views on the award system more broadly, that it's unnecessary and very inflexible and causes a lot of problems in the industrial relations landscape. But having said that, you know, this latest call from AMA is purely to assist businesses to respond to the sort of operational and employment issues that they're facing in their workplaces. So since we made that public to our members, we have had several calls from members thanking us for putting forward what does look to be a fairly out there type of policy proposal, something that certainly goes much further than what any other employer group or government representatives are talking about doing. But the feedback that we've had since last Thursday and Friday has been really encouraging. Our proposal is aligning to what our members are telling us is happening in their workplaces. I mean, for example, I had one comprehensive case study provided to me this morning from a mid-size AMA member. They have been working proactively with their employees to implement a lot of measures that were being seen across AMA membership: extension of rosters, altering work arrangements, relocating workforces, working from home, transitional arrangements, all these sorts of things. But in those endeavours, they've been hampered quite significantly by requirements under both the award and enterprise agreements requiring lengthy consultation processes, restrictions on the alteration of ordinary hours, restrictions on the ability to change rosters and implement new systems and ways of working. Look, in short, we will continue to talk with our members, with the government, and with other relevant stakeholders in coming days and weeks. We've already seen there's somewhat of a political fight emerging over the implementation of the JobKeeper program, about whether it should be done through an amendment to the Fair Work Act or whether it should be done through mass variations to awards and enterprise agreements in a process facilitated by the Fair Work Commission.
Well, thanks so much for the update, and thanks for all our listeners. Please keep your questions coming via email to membership@ama.org.au, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow. Thank you.